You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yes, it is. WMBX. And chugging down a cup of coffee this morning. It's John and Gordy.
Good morning to you. Happy Monday. Rise and shine. Shake a leg up and at them. Top of the morning to you. Here it is, September 15th. And it's nice and clear out there. 61 degrees. Highs today in the low to mid 80s.
Yeah.
It's going to warm up nicely. Yeah.
That's beautiful out there.
Yeah, really is.
I mean, this is a great week. I understand it's going to start getting cold again. I have a birch tree out in the yard that is half yellow at this point.
Is that so?
Yeah. Some of the oak leaves are starting to turn as well.
Yes. Yeah, and it's supposed to be warm the next 3 days in the low to mid-80s, and then cool down at the
end
of the
sunny,
week.
And sunny, no rain in the forecast.
Yeah, looks
I'm keeping
looks
my
good.
Fingers crossed on that. We power washed some of the wood on the stairway going up to the upstairs deck, and I was just like, oh, please, don't rain. I got to coat it with a certain kind of sealer. It encapsulates the wood. It's not the normal everyday kind of sealer you use for decks.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a different
pressure-treated wood.
It's a better kind of sealer.
It's much different, yes. It's kind of a resin, and it absorbs into the wood and encapsulates it. It's great stuff. It's really terrific, but you got to have really dry wood for that, and after you pressure spray it, it gets pretty moist.
Mm. Okay. So it's in the process of drying out now?
It is,
You haven't put the sealer on yet?
Oh, God, darn it.
What?
I got to take the garbage cans out this morning.
What?
I was going to do that.
Well, you've got the two boys at home. I mean, you know, they're in their young 20s, mid-20s. They could take the garbage cans out. Just why don't you call them up?
Yeah, right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Let's call them right now.
Yeah.
Wake them up. Are they still up, or do they stay up all night still?
My younger one does not on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays because he works on those days. So he has to get a normal night's sleep. So no, he isn't up right now. The other one is probably up. I don't know. But if you're up, Cole, take the garbage out. Both of them, the recycle and the regular garbage.
Okay. So you have it so both every week it's
Monday.
Mondays.
Yes, Monday we put our trash out.
Both
there.
Cans or just
both? Both.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I threw away my dog's swimming pool.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We treat her to a pool. Yeah.
A big plastic
she likes
pool.
Hanging out at the pool. My little princess.
Why'd you throw it out?
Well, she is very rough on it.
Oh.
She seems to want to dig deep into the pool.
I see.
And the waves splash and the water splashes. And she's fascinated by it. And she yips. And I hate that. I don't know why she's doing that. But she also puts holes in these pools. And both of them had holes in it. And I thought, well, it's fine. It's finally time to crush them and put them in the garbage containers, and they're sitting there filling the garbage containers.
Are you going to get a new pool for
That's
the
what
dog?
I was going to ask.
We actually got a simulated, a different kind of thing. It's the kind of plastic container that you mix cement in.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're very durable. They're black, durable, and kind of rounded on the ends, and it's great. I mean, it's super. No scratches from her. It's her pool now.
Ah.
And, she loves hanging out at the pool.
Okay. Well, good.
She's
good
taken
deal.
Off my arm a few times running toward the pool, and I didn't notice it, you know? I'm thinking, oh, my God, no. I'm losing that one.
Producer Dominic Lee, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I didn't really do much. Okay, but what thanks. I can That's say, I can say on Friday, yeah. I went to Idea Fest and I actually got to shake hands with Tim Walz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he passed by me and he said, thrill, huh? I love what you're doing. And he had no clue what I was doing there. And we shook hands and went on our merry way.
No, we're quite nice. Well known in Minnesota. You can get this station anywhere, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Listen
all
to
over
John
the globe.
And Gordy all over the globe.
And Tim might be listening right now. We don't know.
Tim, welcome to this great state where we sell cheese all the time.
Okay. And, John, how was Ringo Starr Friday night?
Uh-huh.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that fun?
Yes, it was. Good. I know you're angry about it.
Good band.
You know I didn't want to go, and you would have gone. You wanted to see.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr, finally. You've seen almost, seen? Just Paul McCartney,
just
right?
Paul McCartney.
Well, that's not just. That's great.
That was like
seen Paul McCartney.
2006 or 7, somewhere in there. At the United Center in Chicago. I think I may be going to see him again. He's in Chicago in November, if I can still get some tickets.
Wow.
Somewhere. So
those are expensive tickets, I would
assume.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah, it's
not
crazy.
Not like the All-Star
Too
band.
Much. Too much. Yeah. So how was the band? How did it sound? What did it look like? How was Ringo?
Colin Hay, do you know who he is?
Yes, he was in Men at Work, I think.
Yes, Men at Work.
Right.
He was one of the guitarists, and he played a bunch of his songs.
Okay.
And Average White Band, the guitarist for that, I guess he wrote a few songs and played them as well. So a little disco mixed in.
Okay.
And then, of course, one of the members, founding members of Toto, was there also playing, you know, Africa and blah, 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 blah.
You're not a big Toto fan.
No, I'm not a big Toto fan. You know, people may think that, you know, I'm a music snob.
You think?
Okay, let me just
so
give
Steve
you...
Lukather didn't impress you on guitar?
No, he was very impressive. They're all very good musicians.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. And by the way, Colin Hay still has that voice.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But okay, here's the reason why I don't like some bands like Police and Eric Clapton and, you know, Toto. God. Because it's not so much that they had bad songs or, you know, whatever.
What is it?
I played them too much.
Okay.
And people
requested,
they called in, they requested these songs over and over and over to the point where I could not stand it anymore. And they still great on me. Some groups, I don't mind playing them. You know, I remember playing them. You know, REO Speedwagon. I'll listen to that every once in a while.
Okay.
But I cannot stand the Police, Eric Clapton, and Toto. You know, I was telling Ann how, boy, it wasn't bad listening to Toto.
Yeah.
I told her that outside, you know.
Yeah.
And this woman standing next to me goes, yeah, I felt the same way.
Well, what do you feel about, like, Boston and Foreigner, some of these other groups that got played a ton?
Ooh, I played those to death.
Yeah?
But
you like those?
I haven't heard Boston in a long time.
Really?
I kind of like Foreigner.
Okay.
And the only reason is because my kids were turned on to it when they were watching Supernatural.
Okay.
Because Supernatural played a lot of those old rock songs.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed Foreigner.
Yeah.
Still. Yeah.
It's Molly Hatchet that got a question.
Molly Hatchet?
Yes, wow. Molly
really?
Hatchet. Yeah.
Okay. but back to Ringo, though. How was Ringo? Because Ringo's the star of the show, literally speaking.
Yeah.
So
did he talk? I
sent you a
little clip video.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Did you talk to Ringo? Did you happen to catch his attention?
No.
Go backstage?
No.
Your civic media badge and...
I was on the same level with him, but I never made it up to the stage.
Okay.
On the stage, and I didn't tackle Ringo.
Well, did he talk to the audience? Did he say hello? Did he tell a little story or two?
He did, and I think he was talking to me. Could we go to the phone right now?
Okay.
let's talk to Matt.
All right. Matt, good morning. What do you got for us today?
Morning, guys. I was having a pretty good Sunday, having a day off, nice weather. Hanging with my lady, trying to avoid the chaos of the world. And then that night I get on YouTube, bad idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What happened?
Do you see the chaos in Nepal, the Gen Z that pretty much toppled everything? I think they even murdered a few people, and they were quite gleeful as they burn and trash parliament buildings and all this stuff.
Yeah, that was a frightening situation.
And then I saw that Elon Musk had his phone-in speech to all these angry white people in the UK trying to stir up unrest there because he's a Bond villain.
Yeah. And,
but isn't that further proof that you should not have billionaires?
Yes.
This guy is insane. He thinks he's going to just completely unravel societies wherever he wants, wherever he thinks there's white men that are insecure enough about their position in life that they'll pick up guns.
Yeah.
And now he's tweaking his Grok to fix it because people were able to ask Grok what the statistics were for gun violence. And, of course, it's 75% right-wingers that do it.
Yeah.
He did not like that, so now he's rewiring that.
really?
Well, it's supposed to be an information source, not a propaganda source.
This guy wants to get rid of any source of actual free or proper speech. But as a white guy, can I just say something to all the white guys out there?
Yes.
Just relax. Okay, just relax.
Yeah.
The brown people aren't going to murder you in your home. Mm. They're just people.
But you know, Elon is going to continue to stir the pot as he did. I let me just tell you though, last night or in the afternoon as well, I was just sitting there trolling through X, and I was responding to every one of these individuals who just don't get a clue. Mm. Now, I'm not going to trash them for their loss. You know, a lot of people like Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
That I understand that. It's really, really horrific what happened. But again, there were people saying really outrageously ridiculous things, and I responded to them. So and Elon, by the way, was one of them, and he still hasn't kicked me off. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay.
Hey, Matt, I got a little presentation here I'm going to make on the show here.
What do we got?
We got something for you here.
What is this?
Could you bring in that bag?
Oh, what do you got there? What is this?
Got a little something for you.
You got something for me?
At the Ringo concert.
You got a... What is this?
Matt, you're witnessing this, I hope.
Oh.
There it is.
Peace and love, Ringo. All right.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Well, you know, I was born on Ringo Starr's birthday, so...
Oh, you... That's right.
We share birthdays. July 7th, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice, John.
Well, that was the whole theme. It was peace and love. I mean, the whole place was plastered with peace and love. And
that's fabulous.
That's it for me.
All right. Well,
thank you. I've never had a peace and love thing, and I think you deserve a nice tie-dye T-shirt.
Well, thank you so much.
You can check it out right on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Wow.
Appreciate that.
The only disappointment was that they didn't have the concert stops on the back, which I thought they did, and then I found out when I got home. I know, that was kind of a disappointment, but great T-shirt, man. That is hot.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a great
T-shirt. Thank you so
much. Yep. And again, you can check it out on the YouTube and Facebook and everything else in between.
Very good. That's fabulous.
On the YouTube as we broadcast on the tubes.
Yeah. Matt, thank you for that call, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's terrific, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for thinking of me. That's cool.
I had to get you one. I know you were disappointed at not going to Ringo and
born on
your birthday, same day. You know, the whole thing here just kind of.
If I get lucky and get some tickets to McCartney, maybe I'll return the favor.
Oh yeah,
maybe definitely. A T-shirt or definitely. You know, a keychain or something.
Did you want a face of Ringo or
no,
did you
okay.
just is that good?
I know what he looks like.
That's what I thought too.
Okay, hey, we're just getting going on Monday morning. I'm back with Pam Yonke next on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to the Age of Stupid. Stupid. Welcome to the Age of Stupid.
It It is that time of the age of stupid. John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX 92.7. Check us out on the Civic Media app if you can. Text us and give us a call as well, or voice note us.
Mm-hmm. It's 23 minutes past the hour. Highs today in the low to mid 80s. Right now, 61 degrees. Clear skies this morning. Sunshine through the day. Time for us to welcome back into our world, Pam Yonke. Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Very fine, fellas. Very fine. I'm really sorry that I can't match the T-shirts offerings. I could bring you. We had yesterday, we had the River Food Pantry Sips and Slices. If I brought you a T-shirt from that, chances are there'd be fingerprints with some kind of sauce all over it. So I'll keep that for myself, fellas.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's the problem with that, you know.
Very good.
Yeah.
Look, all right. Okay, you know, we kind of started off with the age of stupid. We always talk politics when we bring that up, but let's bring it up in a way that isn't too political. I will say that I'm not a big fan of the Department of Ag secretary. I don't think she understands ag at all, and I don't think she's really helping the farmers at all, but that's my opinion. Let's get to the point where now the Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards. Yep. Livestock yards.
Well, yep, this is a Wisconsin gig. I get your point on Brooke Rollins, our current U.S. Ag Secretary. This one is closer to home. This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle. The people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But you know, the catch with this one is, farmers don't have a choice. If the department decides that they're going to levy these fines, it's kind of a fine. If they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But
right.
They say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm, and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. I've heard from a lot of livestock producers that are just vehement about this because the fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part, spending money on ear tags, spending money on records, spending money on all the traceability stuff at the farm. Somebody better help split the fees. And we are just, if these go into place, we are obnoxiously over compared to neighboring states like Minnesota, Iowa. They've managed to figure out a way to work these programs without fleecing quite literally the farmers and livestock yards. So the hearings are Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection up on, we used to call it Bill's Hill. Bill Walton gave the land to the department, and off Agriculture Drive, they're also being held virtually. And man, I'm banging the drum to try to tell any farmer of any type, better stay engaged in this conversation, or when you get your next receipt on costs for sending your livestock to the yard, you are going to be shocked beyond what you normally are when it comes to those bills.
So this puts Wisconsin at a disadvantage then dramatically with the other states.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and your point's well taken. If it's going to cost me that much to do it in Wisconsin, how much farther do I have to take the animals to get to a state where the fees are not so exorbitant? Mm-hmm. And that's not good. That's not good for a whole lot of Wisconsin's agriculture infrastructure. So, and I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Normally, the Department of Agriculture in Madison has got open ears, but man, I am getting, you know, even me, they're giving me pushback, and that crap, frankly, boys, just doesn't happen to me anymore these days. What do you mean you're not going to talk to me? You only got me to talk to. So, it's been an interesting story to follow. And I'm on this one like flies on stink.
We'll see how that plays out. Pam, we only got about a minute or so left. But I wanted to ask you about this worker strike at a cheese plant in Monroe over immigration. What happened there?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you in the boiled down version. So what happened at a cheesemaking plant down in Monroe, ownership change. Owners came in and said, okay, I want every one of my workers to be e-verified. And the workers went on strike. So there's more to the story. We'll get to it later this week. But the bottom line is, if the cheese plant is selling cheese to the government, all of their employees have to be verified through the system. That would be the e-verification system. And those employees just said, no, flat out. This has not been a part of our operating contract in the past. We don't want it to be a part of our current operating track.
Right.
And that's kind of a quandary. So the Wisconsin cheesemakers are watching this one closely. And we can follow up and see if there's any developments when we talk Friday.
Sounds good, Pam. We got to run. Thank you so much. Midwest Farm Report coming up next. John and Gordy on a Monday morning. Coming right back. Thank you.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down, until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
What an idiot!
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
What? What the f*** is going on around here?
Holy s***!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
And it's all the time, it seems, and it's getting harder and harder to deal with each and every day. I go through all this stuff, and I become depressed, curl up in the corner of my living room,
and then you call me,
and I call you, and I try to talk you through it.
I talk you off the ledge. It's okay. It's going to be all right. We'll get through it.
Yeah. That's
pretty much happens every single day. Get a little tired of it, but that's okay.
Well, you know,
500 episodes later, we're still here.
That's why we're here. We're trying to package it in a way that it doesn't make you want to give up too.
Okay. Trying to hold everybody's hand.
Yeah. All right. Hey, getting back to this Ringo thing, Anna in Madison says she's going to Las Vegas to see Ringo there.
Yeah, on the 24th of September.
And it was a lot of fun. Ringo Starr, of course, what is he, 85? Something like that?
Let's see. I'm doing the math here. Wow. Yes, I think he is 85. He's 13 years old.
85, you'd never know it. Yeah. You never know it.
Yeah.
And the thing, he was doing jumping jacks.
I saw that. Yeah. He sent me video of him doing jumping jacks. Yeah, he's in great shape.
I'm starting my jumping jack routine at home now.
That's good. Good deal.
You know, he's got a few years on me, but not that many. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I've got to be able to do that when I'm 85, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX, along with our producer, Dominic Lee. And weather today, 83 for a high. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nice and sunny all day right now, clear skies and 61 degrees. I want to direct you to the new poll question that we have up on WMDXradio.com. Here's the question. Have you seen the question?
No, I have not.
What part of the Beltline has the worst traffic when it gets really busy? What part of the Beltline? Mm. Gammon to Mineral Point to Old Sauk Road, that's gotten 0% so far.
Yeah.
You know, just the poll just
I'll
opened.
Go along with that.
Midvale Boulevard to Verona Road, Todd Drive, Fish Hatch, kind of the heart of the Beltline on the west side anyway.
That's the worst part.
That's at 33%. Mm. John Nolan Drive to the interstate, that's also at 33%.
Yeah, it's...
That well, can be.
It's all backed up in that area.
Yeah, oh, yep. Somebody must have just voted. That just changed. Okay, the entire Beltline sucks when it's busy. That gets 25%. That's kind of your out question there. Okay,
so. I do have a pet peeve part of the Beltline. It's from University Avenue to Old Sauk.
Oh, for some
reason. For some reason, there's never a reason why it's slow. You know, it's like 25, 15 miles per hour. There's no reason for it. There's no big trucks. There's no one stopped up on the side of the road.
Well, that's right by your house, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, they're slowing down to see if they can take a look at your place. Isn't that where John Peterson lives, right behind those woods over there?
He likes to go fast, but we're going to show him. So everybody drives real slow there just to get even with me.
That's right at the big west side curve there, kind of, right? Or coming out of the curve.
Yeah.
Going north, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Okay. It's not by the curve. That would be Old Sauk to Gammon.
Gammon, yeah.
And that's where it clears up a little bit, and that's why you know that there's really nothing blocking anybody. There's no way that these people should be driving slowly, but they like to do it anyway.
Well, around the traffic jam time, at, 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, I think a lot of people are getting on the Beltline from University Avenue going north, going up to Sauk. So that's probably why that gets slow.
Well, it's slow going south.
Well, yeah, both directions. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, that's our poll question. You can check it out at WMDXradio.com. Okay.
Yeah.
What else is happening in Idiocracy?
Well, Idiocracy, they get stupider and stupider. This time, Trump is threatening to call a national emergency.
What?
This is a big deal. A national emergency to justify taking control of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I mean, national emergency because he is not maintaining control of D.C. at this point. Because the city's mayor and the district's police would not cooperate now with immigration and customs officials.
Mm-hmm.
So he is threatening to take over the city by declaring a national emergency. Now, I don't know. I've been reading and hearing that D.C. is incredibly safe now.
Yeah.
You know, people can finally go out to dinner.
When
they never could before.
He took the cabinet out to dinner last week.
That's right.
Just declaring how safe it was.
How safe it is.
Yes.
And now he wants to declare a national emergency.
Okay.
To be the king of Washington, D.C. I think that's really what it's all about.
Well, they've put up some barricades lately
in
D.C. around the, fences are coming back up.
Trump had 30 days to do whatever he wanted to do. Now he is not in control in the D.C. police. The mayor is saying, go away. We've had enough of you, the Humvees, the troops.
Yeah.
Go away.
Enough.
In fact, they didn't even patrol the dangerous parts of the city. They just went to the safer parts, which is a little easier. I guess you can pick up the garbage there and maybe mow the mediums. That's what they had the National Guard do.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. I think Governor Evers says if they want to come into the state and do that, that's fine. But don't bother us. Okay, anyway, that's currently what's happening. Let's go now to something last week, and this is tied in with Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. And NPR's Steve Inskeep talked to Joe Mitchell. He's a mega candidate for Congress in Iowa and founder of Run Gen Z, a nonprofit with the goal of getting young conservatives into office. Gee, just what we need. He's also a Charlie Kirk influencer. Mm. But a simple, even complimentary question from Steve Inskeep, very inoffensive guy, turned the interview a little bit nasty. I want to play cut 83 here. Listen how this just turns negative suddenly.
Okay.
Let's listen.
I talked with UW-Madison Turning Point member and former chapter president R.J. Hibben. Seeing social media posts celebrating Kirk's death have terrified him.
Basically signifies to me that if I got shot working at a political event, they would cheer and they would be happy as well. So it's frankly very, very scary.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Well, that's not the cut.
Oh, okay.
You know, it just hasn't happened to us, right?
For a while, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had this happen.
I might have.
It
only happened during those times when Sam was around.
I think I do have one. I found it, though.
Okay. Let's play it.
I'm thinking his public persona, Charlie Kirk's public persona, is very well known at this point. He was in public so much. He was in front of people or on camera so much. He made a lot of polarizing remarks about people who were different from him or had different views from him. But he also stood in front of people who disagreed with him and engaged with them and took their questions and criticisms and responded. I'm just curious, having known him over a number of years, do you think that he learned or evolved in any way from his interactions with so many different kinds of people?
Steve, what remarks? What are you guys talking about?
Oh,
because here's what happened, Steve, is that he was called a Nazi and Hitler and a fascist for so many years, and that's what led to the shooting yesterday. And it's despicable what the news media is doing right now, is saying that he was so decisive, he said these things. Charlie was the most kindest person in the entire world that I knew. He believed in civic debate more than anybody else that I knew. And so the rhetoric that's been spewed out in the last 24 hours is what led to the shooting yesterday in the execution and the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it makes me just sick to my stomach what's happened. And so people need to get a hold of the rhetoric. They need to understand that what they say has implications, and that's what happened yesterday.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll continue the discussion another time, I hope. Joe Mitchell is the founder of Run Gen Z and is a Republican candidate, is a Republican candidate for Congress in Iowa. Thanks.
Seemed like a really good question, I thought.
Yeah, it was a very balanced question. Yeah. And did he learn anything, you know, in the exchanges that he had with the public, right?
Yeah.
And, boy, that was...
Got very defensive.
Yes, very defensive. You really can't speak to these individuals about Charlie Kirk. Mm. It offends them. They truly believe he is a world leader of some sort, right? I mean, they've been putting pictures of him in. They've inserting him in between John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., you know, everybody. These great leaders, and suddenly Charlie Kirk is in there? I really don't think so.
Well, he had that the Turning Point organization for 13 years, and since he graduated high school. I mean, so it's been a long time.
But as
in
I
that
mentioned,
world,
I don't think he's a world leader. But as you're probably watching the story unfold, all around the world, there are protests, there's support groups, there are protests in support of Charlie Kirk. So he really was kind of incredibly important to particular audience.
Yeah. Well, and the internet audience, I mean, that he grew very, you know, to a huge degree.
Yeah, his network
degree.
Was good. And his studio was real nice, which, you know, wish we had just some of that equipment.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Mark is on the line here with the comment.
Yes.
Good morning, Mark.
You know, Charlie Kirk's death was indeed tragic. But let's not set aside the point that he did make divisive comments. I mean, that comment about the pilot, you know, if I saw a black pilot, I would think he was, you know, not qualified to be there. You know, if DEI made him the pilot that he was, or that, you know, that especially the black women aren't as intelligent as everybody else. I mean, a lot of these comments, I mean, come right out of, you know, could have been echoed by, you know, that Alexander Stevens from his cornerstone speech that, you know, they firm position of people of color is supposed to be, you know, as servants or slaves, and with the Taney decision, you know, Dred Scott, I mean, which actually said that, you know, that black people have no, you know, should have no rights really at all. I mean, that any white person should actually respect, and I mean that he didn't say come out and actually say that, but I mean some of his comments were actually that these people are indeed inferior in intelligence, and that he wanted to repeal the 14th Amendment. You know that citizen. You know, you're born in this country, you're a citizen, and probably the voting rights part of the 14th Amendment. I think he opposed the Voting Rights Act. That some of the stuff. I mean, look how far a guy who did not graduate college, you know, that has, you know, gained that, you know, he dropped out of college, I think, is the last I had read, and that, you know, kind of like Scott Walker, and was able to ride the wave, you know, that you have these prejudices, and you find an audience with these prejudices, always had an audience for, you know, since the founding of the Republic, and since, you know, that maybe it's built into humanity's genes that we're supposed to, you know, that...
Well, it shouldn't be. Took advantage of the campus free speech movement, and that's where he slid into that slot. I mean, and he did well, but I have a story here, and I'm going to get to it after our break. I appreciate the call, Mark, about Charlie Kirk's threat to teachers and professors in college. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Taking your calls at 608-879-8255. We've got a couple of callers on the line. Stay with us.
Yep. CJ is there.
We'll be back with more of John and Gordy on this Monday after this.
Like I like to treat you. Every planet in the sky is in your eyes. But I don't treat you like I... No, I don't treat you like I... No, I don't treat you like I should.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy.
Mm-hmm. And nice day ahead of us, sunshine and a high in the low to mid-80s. We're going to be talking with Amy Horak from David J. Frank and Company, talking about what you should be doing with your lawn this time of year as we move into fall, your lawns and gardens. And also coming up a little after 7:30, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin will join us.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Back to our topic here. I have this this story about Charlie Kirk. Journalist and college professor Stacy Patton posted a viral, powerful statement about Charlie Kirk's digital hit list. Listen to this. I am on Charlie Kirk's hit list.
Hmm.
His so-called professor watch list, run under the umbrella of Turning Point USA, is nothing more than a digital hit list for academics who dare to speak the truth to power. I landed there in 2024 after writing commentary that inflamed the MAGA faithful. And once my name went up, again, this is the doxing thing that Republicans hate so much, the harassment machine roared to life. For weeks, my inbox and voicemail were deluged. Mostly white men spat venom through the phone. They called her a bitch, a C-word, an N-word. They threatened all manner of violence. They overwhelmed the university with calls demanding that I be fired. Mm. And she added, Kirk's watch list has terrorized legions of professors across the country. Basically, anyone who challenged white supremacy, gun culture, or Christian nationalism suddenly found themselves targets of coordinated abuse, death threats, job threatens, some left academia completely.
Mm.
So that's just a little part of his legacy. All right,
wow.
Now let's go to CJ just to have CJ react to this particular element of Charlie Kirk's agenda.
Good morning, CJ. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has started a wildfire. The church was packed yesterday, gentlemen, with young college-age kids who are seeking advice and a positive that Charlie projected.
Yeah.
32,000 chapters have been requested so far for Turning Point USA.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. It was amazing. You know, and last week I heard a lot of talk that Charlie doesn't believe in empathy. He hates empathy. But I know you guys can do a little research, and I'm going to challenge you to read his entire quote instead of just a fraction of it. And I hope you'll do that.
He uses
empathy versus sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. So please do some research and be honest with your listeners.
All right. But here, let me just correct you. I think he doesn't like empathy. He likes sympathy. Okay, I'm just saying. I remember I just saw that comment yesterday. So I think he doesn't like the empathy part because, you know, remember, liberals brought empathy a while back. And, boy, the right wing went nuts over empathy. They hate empathy. But sympathy is okay. There's a difference there, I guess. But anyway, I do want to get to the point where you mentioned the churches were filled up or whatever. This is Christian nationalism. And that's what we're talking about here, right?
No.
Do you think that we should be a Christian nationalist country at all, CJ, on this? Is that your opinion? Do you think we should inform young elementary school students about the Bible and the lessons that are taught in the Bible, even some of the negative ones, even some of the horrific ones, some of the bloody, terrible ones?
Well, I think that's a little different subject.
Okay, all right, different subject. But
this is worldwide, guys.
I know. I mentioned that.
In America.
I mentioned that. Yes, so it's amazing to see how
returning to
big
Christ
a following he had.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
You know, the Ten Commandments are a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see too much in the Ten Commandments that shouldn't be taught to our kids.
Well,
first at home and in church and at school. If you folks have a problem with that, you're going to reap what we're sowing right now.
Well, here's my theory about the Ten Commandments. I think that is just kind of inborn in human nature. I don't think we need the Ten Commandments to tell us these things. You know, and have a little fantasy story about, you know, the tablets.
Yeah. Well, you guys may consider it fantasy, and that's okay. That's your right.
It's okay.
Being an American.
It's okay.
So. But
there are lessons in Dr. Seuss too.
More than the hatred that's taught in colleges today,
no.
And on the airwaves.
So there's no hatred on the right,
internet.
Right? There's no hatred. It's all love and peace on the right. Exactly.
I'm not saying one side owns it,
mm-hmm.
And that's where you guys go. Two wrongs, you know.
No, I'm just bringing it up. I'm not saying that each side doesn't have it.
That's where you jump into because you don't want to hear the facts of how this young man
mm-hmm.
got to the point allegedly shooting Charlie for using the First Amendment.
I tell you what, no one is
Words
endorsing shooting anybody.
Words aren't violent.
Here's the thing that bothers
violence
me. Okay, CJ, this is the part that bothers me most, is that we are the party of murder, according to Elon. Now, here's the thing.
No,
we want to get,
left here.
We want to get rid of guns. We want to get rid of guns. We want safety in guns. If we have guns in this country, put some safety in place on that. We don't do that. And who's stopping us from doing the right wing? Who's the party of murder? Who allows this stuff to happen?
CJ, thanks for that call. We've got news straight ahead and more of John and Gordy in the morning. In our next hour, Amy Horak will join us from DJ Frank and also former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin and his take on the mood.
We've got more
country.
On Charlie Kirk coming up next hour, too.
Yep. Stay with us on WMDX.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.